It's a privilege for me to be here and to share this beautiful word that encourages us. It lifts us to a place where we awaken spiritually. It's not about what happens in our body, that it's not about that. It's about awakening spiritually, so that we can discern, so that we can hear, so that when we go through the struggles, like some part of this seminar and what has been coming out has been a correction to me. And sometimes there is a struggle to line up again, once again, with that is quiet, that is still, that is sensitive, that if I am not aware, then I completely miss it. It's a sense that is awakening in our soul. And that's why we come together to encourage each other to keep hearing, to keep listening, and to keep changing. We can't say, if our behaviour is still behaving, then we cannot say that we've got it, that we know it. Yet our mind would tell us that we've got it and we know it and we're pretty good. Or talking about that song, you know, the words in here. We as man are so opinionated. We have got an opinion on everything. We do. The reason I know that? Well, you see, this is the thing, and this is what we share together so that we can come back into that straight and narrow path. So that we can be in union, because it's my own attitude and my own disposition that is the stumbling block. So I want to know what those things are that I've still got in my heart. I want to awaken spiritually to hear the truth, because I love the truth and I don't want to play games. I only want to hear the truth. So I am going to continue from yesterday. I'll give you today's little, you know, we all the time, we want to be right or we want to be kind. Or if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change. I'll give you today's. Today's is, my judgments prevent me from seeing the good that lies beyond appearance. My judgments prevent me from seeing. My judgments prevent me from seeing the good, the God, the life, the vivifying life that is God. Prevents me from seeing the good that lies beyond the appearance, beyond this observation. These little sayings that I dig out are just for us to consider. You know, when you have 5 minutes, have something to consider so that we're not just running off in our own opinion or our own importance, our own self-importance. It's important to hear these things that are being said and make the correction within myself. It's not that we correct each other. The word is doing its own work and bringing us back into that plumb line of righteousness, because that's what it is. It's always straight. It's always ordered. It's always in harmony. And if I feel a little then I have to consider those things and watch my own behaviour. Why am I reacting to that? Why did I get offended? Because I'm opinionated. I've got an opinion. I heard someone else's opinion and I've had a reaction. So I'm constantly, know thyself. Talk funny, don't we, with these and thous and thys. But that's how I say it to myself. Know thyself. That's where we've got to start. Am I hearing? Am I listening? Am I having an understanding of what is facing me? You know? So, I finished up. I was just going to say too, even just with Mike's talk yesterday, it brought our attention to what we allow ourselves to look at. I think that's one of the very important issues. As we come together to share truth, it's important to know and understand to maintain that truth. So it's very important what we look at in this world. And if we are going to take a huge... I'm not saying don't look at the news, and I'm not saying don't look at the financial reviews and the wars and the things that go on in the world. I'm not saying don't look at it. I'm saying don't partake in it. Maintain your own equilibrium, your equil, your equal. Jesus said about being equal with God. What was that scripture? I'll think of it. It'll come to me. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And we must maintain that communion to be able to do, even the least among you will do the works I am doing, and greater things will you do? Jesus said that. He didn't say it for no reason. It's the truth. The potential is there, but what am I listening to? Am I listening to my own self-important opinion? Or have I a hearing ear, which we hear so often, but what does it mean? Am I doing it? Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm not, because I have an opinion. So, therefore, it's to me, it's very important that we put a watch over our mouth, that we do not bring attention or more attention to those things that are of this world. Sometimes we can take a real interest in it, begin to talk about it, and bring more attention still to those things. So what I'm saying is, it really, Mike's talk really corrected me in just talking about anything that's going on out there, or watching the wars and the finances and the governments and the whatever else, you know, all the interests in this world. Just maintain your true self. Put a watch over your mouth so that we don't bring more attention to them. We do not stand in the appearances of this world, good or bad. That is not what we are of. We do not stand. Our stand is in Christ, who is our life. That's our stand. We do not stand in the observations of this world, or the ball, or the sphere. We do not stand in that. We are not of that. That is not what we have in our heart. Okay? So, the good and evil, the right, wrong, the good, the bad, you know, we are not of that. This scripture that I brought out yesterday was very important to me. It was going over in me, and it was part of my considering. And I'll just start off with that, and then I'll move on to the scripture that I didn't get to yesterday. I'll read it again. Even the least among you will do the works I am doing. Now, that very point was the reason I never really looked at that scripture before, until it, only a few beginning of the week, it started to generate in me for no particular reason, and I began to look at it. I had the courage to look at it. Can I do the works that Jesus did? I have never considered myself important enough, or having enough spiritual understanding to even consider doing what Jesus has done. But that is our purpose. That is why we are here. That is why we are in the world, to do the things that Jesus has done. He brought peace, a peace that is unknown to this world. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives you. It's the world has got a peace that they call peace that is really uncertainty and disruption, and it may be calm one day and it's disruptive the next. That is not the peace that Jesus is talking about. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So there's something more in that peace that he's talking about. There's something important in that peace that he's talking about. So the works I am doing, we must have an expectation to live the works that Jesus is doing. He encouraged people. He lifted people. He fed people. He did fish and loaves and fish. He fed thousands. Can we do those things? I'm not looking whether I can do it or not. I'm looking to understand, yes, I have that same understanding of where that comes from. That's what I'm looking to. Not whether I can produce fish and loaves or loaves and fish. That's not the important thing to me. The important thing to me is, do I have that peace that is not of this world? That's where the loaves and fish have come from that peace that is not of this world. So, but then he made the point that he does not speak on my, I do not speak on my own, he said. He didn't say my Father, he said Father dwells in me. I'll say it again. I do not speak on my own, Father dwells in me. See, all this is to see clearly and to mark. Our own mark means attention. Where is my attention? Where? What am I looking at? What am I considering? Is the iron off? Is the pot boiled? Or am I considering those things that are in my heart? Constantly bring ourselves back to that place. So this is to mark the attention. Mark is the attention to our original presence, power, and intelligence. That's who I am in the beginning. The original presence, power, and intelligence. Omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. One power, one presence, one intelligence that I am, that we all are. All men, potentially all men. And what we're doing here is raising that spirit of truth so that it becomes a living thing. No longer, if you look out there, you're going to see man depleted of the spirit and therefore in pain and despair and hunger and poverty and war, and you can name it off. Our encouragement to come together is to begin to see the living God as our life, no longer as all, as the world's life, no longer depleted of that spirit. Because that's what the Adam man is. He is without the spirit of God. The Adam man came away saying to himself, I can make an image other than the image of God. But the action of God did not go with that imagination. The action of God, the Spirit of God, stayed in God. And it hid itself in a man that was making for himself his own imagination, his own identity. That Spirit, that God, that life hid itself right where you are, right where man is. It's hidden. It's there, the light that lights up every man. And what are we doing? We're raising up that spirit that we would be in communion with the Spirit of God, the action of God, the life of God, the truth of God that I saw in that man in that wheelchair. It was there, it was evident, but do we have eyes to see? Or are we thinking about our own self-importance? I agree, I disagree. He's this, he's that, and have an opinion on it. Withdraw from the opinion. Don't say anything about it because it only brings more attention to the financial status or the wars, or it just brings more attention to it. So withdraw from our opinionated opinion about this world. Put a watch over our mouth. I think I've said enough about that. For me, it was a real contemplation. I had to really consider my part in that. And when you said shut up yesterday, I thought, oh my God, he's talking to me. So, but Jesus was pointing out that there was something else about him. He was pointing out that the Father dwells in me. He was pointing out, I am in the Father in me. He had so much encouragement just to speak these things out. And what did it do? It made enemies. So we won't speak it out so prolifically. He said, I do not speak on my own. I now only want to know that presence, that power and that intelligence that Jesus was talking about. Because he said, even greater works will you do. I only want to know that bit so that even greater works will we do. So to me, there is a communion in what he was talking about is with me. And that's what I'm doing. Considering that communion that he was talking about is with me. I only want to be sensitive to that. Abraham called it friend. It's gone right down through the ages. God spoke down through the ages, through the prophets, through the Hebrews 1, down through the ages. Now it says, I won't read it. Now I speak in son. You are the sons of God. We just heard it. We are the sons of God. Now I speak in son. I don't any longer speak through the prophets and the, who are they? Should I open it? Maybe I should. It keeps staying with me. So I better. Where's Hebrews? Hebrews? Hebrews 1. Okay, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us in Son. That Son is within you. Let us begin to hear that Son that God is speaking to. That Son was in that man the other day in the wheelchair, and God spoke thankful. And he could not help but express it. I saw the Son of God sitting in that wheelchair. You see, if we go by the observation, you won't see the Spirit of God. So don't go by our own judgments, because if we do, it prevents us from seeing the good that lies beyond the appearance sitting in that wheelchair. Okay? So, has in these last days spoken to us in Son, whom he has appointed enjoyer. I'll have to explain this. He has appointed heir, it says, of all things. That word heir is actually enjoyer of the Spirit of God. He has appointed Son the enjoyer of God. Do you know the word joy is not a human quality? If there is any joy in you, it is the expression of the Spirit within you. You Man in his despair has no joy. Wake up every morning and sing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you know what? You change from sad to happy because you become aware of something of a spiritual nature, something of a spiritual quality. So, all down through the ages, God has spoken now, spoken in Son. That Son is, to Abraham, is a friend. To Moses, I am. To Elijah, that still small voice. These were the explanation of these men of that friendly feeling in communion with God. Jesus called it Father. John called it the Word. Paul called it the Christ. Christ in you. Paul didn't keep it for himself. He shared it. It is Christ in you. The hope of glory, the hope of the substance being expressed as our life. Okay, so even the least among you will do the works I am doing, and greater things will you do. If we don't do anything else, just make that our focus. And what you look at, you begin to experience. What you think about, what you look at, expands in your experience. Do you know that? That your thoughts expand as your experience? Watch what you're thinking about. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs forth the issues of life. Keep yourself, keep your heart, because it expands. If I think an angry thought towards someone, you know what happens? That imagination begins to see me and them coming together, having words and having disruption. Our imaginations play out those. I'm not the only one, I'm positive. I'm sure everybody else does it as well. And it is a role play that we play in our mind. And you know what I do now? Every time that begins, because I'm not protected from all these things, they happen often. But as soon as I see it now, I say, oh, well, at least now I know that that is not going to happen. That will not happen, because it's been that imagination, I know that won't happen. So do you know what? It just dismisses it.
Yeah.
Because I know what it is now, it dismisses it. Whereas before, I didn't know, I was thinking, oh, well, that means I've got to get her together and me together and I've got to do something about it. No, just dismiss it, because as soon as you know what it is, it's gone. Okay. So, wow. Okay, let's go to the scripture that, I like this scripture. It was a bit difficult when I first read it. It explains things to me. Jesus explains things to me. John 8, and I'm starting from verse 23. Excuse me, sorry. Okay. So, I like this scripture. Let's go. Verse 23. He said to them, Jesus said to them, you are, this is quite quite confronting if you look at Jesus' language. I'm reading from my little concordance book, so it's not the these and thous and thys that I normally would read in the King James. So I've written it down so that I can follow it. He said to them, Jesus said to them, you are of below. I am of above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. See, that to me differentiates that this world is living on a plane that is below and it's not above. All through the Bible, you're going to get come up higher. Wake up and see. come up to the mountain, look up and see. There's a reason. It's not just beautiful language. We have to see the language for what it is. And you know what we've got to do then? Change our language. We've got to change the way we look at things. Because if we just keep on looking at things the same old way we always have, and see the same old belief about it that we always have, we just keep getting the same old ignorance that we've always had. And we keep getting what we don't want. We keep doing the same things because I'm thinking the same things the whole time. And what I'm thinking about just goes round the mountain and I find myself in the same old place I've always been. Yep. So let's rise up out of our own self-importance, our own selfish pride, and stop thinking that we know something. I'm not talking to you. Talking to me. I am talking to me. But this is where we come together to encourage each other. You encourage me by allowing me to say and drawing out of me those things that are important to me. You just by sitting there, you draw out of me what is important to me. And I like to hear that the truth is the most important. I like to hear that. Because sometimes my mind would say, who do you think you are, you know? And it has attitude in that mind. Okay. So, this is our aim, to awaken spiritually. So, you are of this world, I am not of this world. That, to me, is so explicit. It differentiates this world and above. That he's talking about. I'll try and stay on track. I said then to you that you shall be dying in your sins. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those. They were confronting him. They were questioning him. They were trying to trap him. So watch how he explains all this. So already, just by saying you are of this world and I am from above, already he's put out there a challenge. Okay, I said then to you that you shall be dying in your sins. Okay, this is what Jesus said to them. If ever, and he not only said it once, he said it twice. If ever you should be believing in me that I am, If you are not believing in me that I am, you shall be dying in your sins. Now, that's quite confronting, and he said it twice. There's something in that. There's something about that. So, the dying in your sins. Here we are. He said, I am above. I am of above, and to be dying in your sins is that above is out of reach. I haven't made that up. It comes from there. I haven't made anything up. But all these words have a meaning. I'll try and explain them to you as I come. Some of them are more important than others. But for that particular, if you are not believing in me, now don't forget, yesterday I brought out that believing is to be convinced. It's not about I believe in God. That's the old imagination and belief that we thought. And if I say I believe in God, I feel good. That's just the ego. That's got nothing to do with spirituality. It's our own sense of self-importance. Okay? So to believe that he's talking about is to be convinced concerning matters outside the sphere of observation. I say it like that because that is how it came. But it's talking about don't go by the appearance, go by your heart. Go by that inner tuition. Intuition that comes immediately as a knowing, And naturally, it comes naturally and unconsciously. That's intuition. That's how God speaks to our mind. It's not about what I believe in. It's about hearing that immediate knowledge that is a knowing that comes to my mind naturally and unconsciously. You see? You see the difference? One is above, that is above. The below is an act of the mind, where I am taking thought and judgments according to the appearance, according to the observation. That's an act of the mind. We've been talking about it all over these days. There is a difference, and now Jesus is bringing out a difference. I am of above. You are below. Here's the difference again. It's not only I am of above and you are below. Also, this is how it works. Above is an intuition that comes naturally and unconsciously to the mind. It's a knowing. And that's how God speaks to our mind. Whereas below is an act of the mind. I know I'm repeating it, but it's important that we understand how it works. So when the act of the mind comes, you can dismiss it and stay with that that is true and holy and good and lovely and encouraging and joyful and peaceful, that is the kingdom of God that is within you. You see? So if ever you should not be believing me that I am, that's the crux. That's the crux. The believing me, we've dealt with that. If we don't see that I am, then I am being, I am judging according to the appearance. I am judging according to the observation. That's the obstacle. That's the obstacle from that knowing that comes as intuition. Do you see? So, that I am. He said this twice. You shall be dying in your sins. Okay, what is the dying? The dying is not flat and no life. We're not talking about death. We're talking about dying in your sins. Dying is the battlefield of this world. It's pain, despair, anxiety, sadness, unhappiness, disheartened, discouraged. It's all those things. It's confusion. It's misery. It's despair. It's a battlefield. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's happy. Sometimes it's nice. Sometimes it's enjoyable and entertaining. It's still a battlefield. Because that I think I love turns to hate. And I find myself drawn in once again to that battlefield. Okay, so we hate and we think we love. That's this battlefield. So that is what the dying in your sins is all about. Do you see that? You shall be dying in your sins if you don't know or are convinced that I am. So if we don't understand what that is, just stand still and ask for that understanding. I really want to understand that I am, because then I know I won't be dying in my sins. That's what he was explaining to the people. So verse 25 says, they said then to him, who are you? Do you see? There it is again. Who are you? Do you know, right through the Gospels, that they asked him that the whole time, but they didn't really wait for the answer.
No.
They didn't really want to know the answer. It was like Pilate. What are you talking about? What is truth? What are you talking about? You see, they don't really want to know, yet they know I don't know how to say it. It was an important question that they asked, yet their disposition could not handle the answer. And that's That's how man is. He's too overwhelmed by spiritual wisdom to be able to handle it. It's too good. It's too peaceful. It's too joyful. It's too lovely for man who doesn't know any better. Do you see? So that was an important question, and this is what Jesus said. I am what I am speaking to you. Do you get that? No, you don't, because I didn't get it for months. I am what I am speaking to you. Now, that was a mystery. That was a mystery that he, like he did with Pilate. We talked about Pilate on the first session last weekend. He was declaring insight, the insight of the truth in this world. He was speaking to Pilate. Pilate couldn't handle it. He's doing the same thing here to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They said to him, "Who are you?" He said, I am what I am speaking to you. Now, all right, I'll just talk about it, but it's very, very important that we look at that and come to understand what it really is. To me, you know, it's amazing. Okay. Jesus said, "I am what I am speaking to you. Much I have been speaking." The concordance says that much I have been talking, much I have to be speaking to you. This is what Jesus is saying to them. I've told you many things. I've told you much I have told you, and much more have I got to be speaking to you. I hope I've said that clearly. I am what I am speaking to you. Much I have already been speaking to you, and much more have I to be speaking to you. Do you get that? Okay. Then he said, "He who sends me is true, and what I hear from him I am speaking to the world." Okay, let's do it again. I am what I am speaking to you. Much I have been speaking, and much more have I to be speaking to you. And judging you, he said. That word judging there, judging concerning you, it actually says. Now that word judging actually means of the thoughts of the heart. Jesus was actually saying to them, much I have to be speaking to you and judging the thoughts of your heart. We cannot just say what we like. We must discern the thoughts of the heart. And that is why Jesus had much more to say to them, because he was discerning the thoughts of their heart. They could have turned around and rent him in that very situation. That's why he had much more to be speaking to them, because he knew he couldn't, because of the thoughts of the heart. Now, we too have a responsibility to know the thoughts of our own heart, and who and when and how put a watch over our mouth, that we do not just speak uncommonly, you know? So, oh boy, he who sends me is true. What a statement. Now he's turning it. What I am speaking to you, I am. And then he says, I've been telling you a lot about me. I've been speaking a whole lot of things. You should know what I am, but you don't, because of the thoughts of your heart. He who sends me, that Father, that truth, that one that judges no man, he who sends me is true. That to me is a declaration in this world of self-opinionated opinions and cultures and doctrines, and all down through the ages. We have so much knowledge that we can't sense the truth when it is declared. He who sends me is true. And he's saying it to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who have got so much culture that they can't. The culture is the very obstacle. The religious traditions are the very obstacles. Yet he's saying, he who sends me, if you look in my face, you will see he who sends me. If you look at what I've been saying to you, you will see he who sends me. You will see he who is true. The things I am speaking to you, that's him. Do you get it?
Yeah.
The things I am speaking to you, that's him who sends me. I of myself, I can do nothing. I know we use that a lot, but it's becoming more precise. You know, it's becoming more important than ever. And we should not anymore say it flippantly. I'm talking about me. I should not anymore say, I of myself can do nothing. Because my head's saying, yes you can, yes you can, yes you can. I can't. It's very, very important that I don't just flippantly say, I can say it to myself, but don't say it to, you know, anyone. So what I hear from him, I am speaking to the world. This Jesus, whom they crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Do you know, he has so much courage in a world that had never heard nor understood that there is a God of truth.
Yeah.
Just gives me goosebumps. But do you know how it's grown? Just the fact that he said this then. It's grown to now we are doing even greater works. We are actually saying the things of the Father of truth. And what does it say? Even the works I do, even greater works will you do. It's awesome for me to be able to say those things that Jesus said and understand what they mean. And know how important they are.
Yeah.
So, what I am speaking to you. So, my first step was to think, okay, what was he telling us? What was he speaking to us? He was speaking spirit and truth to the below world. I am of above. You are below. It was very explicit. You can't hide from it. It's right there. And you know what? It was for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it was out of their reach. It was for Pilate, it was out of their reach. It is no longer out of our reach. It is no longer unknown to us. Don't be childish in your understanding. Don't be ignorant anymore. Don't think I've got something to say and I can't, I don't want to listen to anyone else. Don't think that I'm important, because it is the Father of truth that is important. My selfish pride is my own ego that is the obstacle to that sensitive expression, the Word made flesh. Yeah. Do you know that's what's happening? The Word is being made flesh. And even greater things will you do. Because what are the greater things? Well, grace and truth. That divine influence on the heart. As we speak these words, of Jesus, of truth, which is the Father expressing as Jesus. As we speak that word of grace, it is an influence in this world on the hearts of men. And you will, as it has an influence on the hearts of men, they will raise up in understanding, and then possibly, quite probably, in an outworking of harmony, order, health. No more banging doors, you know? No more banging doors. So, I am what I am speaking to you, spirit and truth. To the below world, these ideas were out of our reach. These words tell you that they are spirit and they are life. John 11, verse 24. Resurrection is not at the last day, he was explaining. I'm just saying some of the things that were important to me that he was speaking about in this world, so that we come back to some sort of focus, okay? Resurrection is not at the last day, because the Jews believed that at the last day there would be a resurrection. Okay, that was their culture, their belief. Jesus was explaining to them, resurrection is not at the last day. Resurrection is right now. Resurrection is what I am. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the resurrection and the life. That's what he was speaking to them. I am what I am speaking to you. Do you get it? I get it. Oh, I get it. So I am the resurrection and the life. So there was a challenge for them. It hits their culture. And don't we react when it hits our culture? Don't you see it in yourself? I do. I see it in myself. He said to them, love your neighbour as yourself. This is the greatest command, to love your neighbour. He's not talking about love yourself. Love your neighbour as you love yourself. Why do I love myself? Because originally I am created in the presence, the knowledge, the understanding, the love of God. That is hidden. My ego would say I am very affectionate about myself. Very affectionate about myself. You see the difference? There is no love in this world. There is affection, and that is aroused by something outside of yourself, objectively or subjectively. That is how we operate in this world, affectionately. It's not true love. Love is of God. Okay? Love your neighbour as yourself. This is the greatest command. The command of God always is, and there is no other command, everlasting life. See it, behold it, look at it, consider it. All God says is everlasting life. It belongs to you. It's your heritage. It's your enjoyment. And you know what? There is no fear in it. Oh dear. Okay. John 14, verse 30, the ruler of this world, emotional man, he has no response in me, says Jesus to the disciples when they said, please don't go away. Please stay with us. We need you, he said. They said. And Jesus said to them, it looks like it would be pretty nice for the disciples to say, stay with us, we need you, we love you, we want you here. And Jesus is saying, I must go away. And their reaction is, please stay with us. And then Jesus says to them, the ruler of this world is coming. Emotional man,
yeah,
is coming.
Yeah.
And he has no response in me. I am what I am speaking to you. This emotional man has no response in me. Keep coming back to that. I am what I am speaking to you. We can see it in the face of Jesus Christ if we know what it means and not think we have an opinion about it. You see? So, John 16, verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. I tell you the truth, he says, it's to your advantage that I go away, so that we don't incline again to worship a man. That is where, in a physical sense, is our biggest obstacle. We're looking, man has made for himself a god in the image of himself so that it would fulfill his needs. And that would be his inclination again, over and over again. So don't do that. John 16, verse 8. When the Spirit comes, I'll just read this as it says. When the Spirit comes to convict the world of sin, because they are not convinced of righteousness, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. I'll do it again so I get into a flow. When the Spirit comes to prove, that word convict means to prove. When the Spirit comes, which proves Christ is your life. When the Spirit comes, it naturally teaches you, ah, I understand that now. Whereas trying to understand, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You see, it's an act of the mind, ever learning and never knowing. The knowing comes intuitively. Okay, so Jesus is saying when the Spirit comes to prove the world of sin, or to prove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Okay, so what he's saying is to prove that you are living in a mistaken identity. That's what sin is. The Spirit comes to prove that you are living in a mistaken identity, okay? Of righteousness, knowing that I am right with God in the beginning. Knowing from that immediate knowledge that comes to my mind, naturally and unconsciously, that's intuitive. Of righteousness. I know righteousness intuitively, because if I try to work out righteousness with an act of my mind, I will never feel it. I will never sense it, because it's an act of my mind. But if I know it intuitively, I've got it. And it will never leave me nor forsake me. And I've got it forever, and I will always understand when something comes that is not lining up with that original creation that I am. Wow. I know. Wow. So, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. You know what that judgment is? It's emotional man exposed. You can see it for what it is. It's the father of lies, and it's constantly dictating imaginations that are the father of lies. The ruler of this world is judged. It's the father of lies. That's where now I'm trying to race it so I can get it out. I am what I am speaking to you. I am telling you that we have been dictated to by the father of lies, emotional man. It is judged. It is exposed. We now can understand what it means. And as soon as we see it, dismiss it. You don't have to kill it. You don't have to fight with it. Agree with thine adversary quickly, but just dismiss it, because you now know what it is. You don't have to live like that in despair any longer, and neither do those around you. Just maintain that truth. I am that I am. Don't say it flippantly, say it silently to yourself, because we must put a watch over our mouth. We become too accustomed, yeah, too quickly to these holy things that are coming to our understanding. Yeah. You know, don't be flippant. Okay, verse 28. Yes, So there, now I'm going to verse 28 in John 8. I'm now back on track, okay? So verse 28, when you lift up, he told them something else. When you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am. When you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am, and from myself am doing nothing. My Father teaches me these things I am speaking. He that sends me is with me, does not leave me alone, and I am always doing, always pleasing to him. I said it that way so that we don't get a bit of poetry in this, so that we understand what he is saying. He's saying to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that asked him, who are you? He's saying, I am what I am speaking to you, right? So here he is saying, my Father teaches me these things that I am speaking to you. He that sends me is with me and doesn't leave me alone. It doesn't go off anywhere. And I am doing always that that is pleasing to him. That's what we must begin to do. Yeah. Always be doing that that is pleasing to that Father that is within us. No longer put a, just zip it up, you know. No longer being flippant about these things. They are holy. They are holy. But as they are declared in the world, we are doing those things that he did, and greater things will we do, because the Spirit of God is being the light that comes. Every man has that light within him, and that light lights up every man that comes into the world. The light, understanding, truth, it is no longer unknown to man. We cannot use the excuse of not knowing. We are no longer ignorant. The truth is in the world. It is being declared, and you know what? Even greater things will we do. So the question was, who are you? The answer was, I am what I am speaking to you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to live. The way to live, to serve one another. That is the way to live. That is the expression of the true nature of God. Your true nature is ordered and in harmony to serve one another. Now, I know that word serve is quite harsh, because you often can say to yourself, but it's your ego in your own mind saying, I'm not going to serve. You see, that word serve thinks you have to be lower than somebody else. That's what it tells you. It isn't true. You're actually doing what Jesus did, and even greater things will you do. Do you see? So, I am the truth. I am a knowing acquired by intuition. I am a knowing acquired by intuition without reasoning, formed in the mind naturally and unconsciously. That's how God works. That's how God is expressed. That's grace and a spiritual influence on your hearts. Okay, so I think that it's 10:30. I think I have to finish. Do I?
Yeah. What more do you want?
I could have gone on forever, but I'm not going to. I really do think that that is enough. It's a lot of information. Haven't we had so much to consider? I personally am just so grateful to have been here to share. Oh, I've got goosebumps. To share with you all, because it has made a profound change in me, a profound change in me. I have a quietness and an assurance that I always knew is true, but never really experienced the way I have here. This word has lined me up. It's It's corrected me. The Word has corrected me. It has taught me how to live these principles that we are hearing. And these principles are God is at Christ, is the action of God is our life. That's what Jesus was wanting us to see in him. I am what I am speaking to you. And do you know what? I can say that now. I am what I am speaking to you. Because the Word made flesh has corrected all that dribble, the rubbish and the constant imagination. I am so grateful to be here. I just feel like the rubber's hit the road, you know? I feel like it's a point in time in my experience. I am very grateful. Thank you, Michael, for bringing me, for bringing us together. I also know that it has a healing effect. It has an establishment together. I am glad that we are together. And I thank you all for being so beautiful to me. You just make me feel very special, and I'm very thankful.